Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. On the screen, I appreciate what the men do on the screen, but basically, there's going to come a moment in time that Christ is going to return to this earth. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about understanding the difference between the rapture and the return. But in Revelation chapter 6, that last scripture, Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 19, verse 21, 6 through chapter 19, verse 21, you can read about the tribulation. What's going to happen during the time that we, I believe, as Christians are gone? And that's good news. As I study God's Word, it seems to me that God is going to take us out of the tribulation time as believers. Will those that are left have a chance to be saved? The answer is yes, but it will cost them their lives. So let's look into God's Word. And even before we do, something that popped up this morning on the news, I think is very, very appropriate that we take a look at it. And let's see if we can find it. The Pope was commenting on what's going on in North Korea. Let me see if I can bring that up. Yes. And here's what was said. Pope Francis said Saturday that he does not think, catch this, humanity today could bear a war with North Korea, and called for diplomacy and the revived United Nations to take the lead in negotiating a resolution. Today, a wider war will destroy not a small part of humanity, but a good part of humanity and culture. Everything, no. It would be terrible. I don't think humanity today could bear it. Pretty interesting that Pope Francis is commenting about what's going on in North Korea, and whether he knows it or not, is talking about biblical prophecy. Because when all these explosions start taking place, the end is very, very near. Humanity cannot survive it. And as I said to you last week, that the center of the universe or of our world, the center of this globe, is heat as much as the sun. And so when all of this begins to ignite and explode, it's all going to explode. That's why in 2 Peter he said that the world is going to be not destroyed by flood, but by fire. This thing's going to burn up. And that's what Bob said is so appropriate this morning. If we're not careful, we live for the wrong things, things that aren't going to last. There's not anything here except your relationships that are going to last. It's all going to pass away. So let's look for a moment at the rapture and just read, remember last week. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. You'll want to keep your Bibles in your laps or handy so you can look with me or at least make some notes there where we've written scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. In other words, they're saying, what about those who have died? The Bible talks about a Christian, we fall asleep. We don't really die, we fall asleep. Why? What does that imply? That you wake up. You fall asleep, you wake up, you come back to life. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of you believe that Jesus died and rose again? Would you say aloud, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We believe that, don't we? Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Very encouraging word, very insightful word. Paul says, those who have died are going to come back with the Lord at his return. Okay? He'll bring them with him. Now look at verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. By the what of the Lord? The word. You're going to see that's so important over and over again. It's the word, it's the word, it's the word. By the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will do what? Rise first to come out of the grave. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds. It's not him coming and touching earth. He's in the air, and we go up to meet him in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, there's going to come a time, there's going to come a moment in time, there's going to come a moment that will surprise us all, that Jesus will come in the air, and we who are alive in Christ will go up to meet him. Those we have buried, their bodies will reunite with their spirits and go up to heaven. They'll have a new body and a new spirit, everything new in heaven. Amen? A new body. How many of you need a new body? I do. I used to not limp. Sometimes I limp now. It's crazy knee. But anyway, we all need new bodies, okay? So one day he's going to come back in the air and take us to be with him. What's going to happen between then and our Lord's return? We're going to look at that this morning, but it's going to be a time, Jesus says, of great tribulation. There's never been anything like it before on the earth, okay? And I believe the Lord has saved us from sin, but I also believe the Lord has saved us from great tribulation. And we'll see that more clearly. So, what's going to happen after the rapture? There's going to be great tribulation. There's going to come a final world dictator who's going to bring peace to the earth. I want you to hear it clearly. When we're taken out of here, the final world dictator will be revealed. He'll have a peace plan for the Arabs and for the Israelis. That peace plan will go on for about 3.5 years, as we'll read in a moment. And after 3.5 years, he'll set himself up to be God. In other words, he'll go to the temple of God. Is there a temple in Jerusalem now? No. Will there be? Yes. Were the Jews back in Israel when this was written? No, they were dispersed, the diaspora. They were dispersed, but they are a nation again, 1948. That's a miracle. And so they became a nation again in 1948. It couldn't have happened except the work of God. And then there come a time that the temple will be rebuilt. This guy will have a peace plan. And part of his peace plan will be somehow to build the temple in Jerusalem. That's going to take a lot of the art of the deal. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It's going to take a big deal maker to make that happen. So, when that happens, probably what's going to happen is, I think you've heard me say it before, there'll be a temple built beside the Dome of the Rock. Someone will make a peace plan and say, let's keep them both. Let's have them both. Well, when the temple is rebuilt, after 3.5 years of peace, this guy will set himself up to be God in the temple of God, and all hell will break loose. That's when the great tribulation will break loose for 3.5 years. So, then, after the great tribulation, Christ is going to come back. What does that look like? Here we go. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name was called what? Let's say that really loud. The Word of God. Isn't that interesting? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. And then the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Now here's what is very, very important. When you read the Word, you're reading Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. That's what the Word of God is trying to teach us. It's the Word, it's the Word, it's the Word. If you want to know God, he's spoken in his Word. Jesus is called the Word of God. Let's say that one more time. The Word of God is synonymous with Jesus. Okay, let's go on. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who are the armies in heaven? Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Linda says, I don't want to ride a horse. Too bad. By that time, it's going to be okay. But who knows what we'll be riding, but the Bible symbolically says we'll be riding white horses because the good guys are coming from heaven. How many of you used to watch the Lone Ranger? Any of you used to watch? What color horse was he had?
White.
He was a good guy. All the other ones had black horses. But the Bible says he's going to be on a white horse. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, let's say it together, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's say that. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, the Word of God, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains. This is something that you really need to see. The birds are going to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. So what does that mean? It doesn't matter whether you're a king of a sheikh in Arabia, or whether you're a pauper on downtown temple. It doesn't really matter. The Bible says your end is going to be the same without Christ. The birds are going to eat your flesh. Isn't that real encouraging? Well, here's the fact of it. What the Word of God is trying to tell us is the stuff you live for, trying to get up with the Joneses or the whoever's, is of no value. It's all going to burn. It's all going to fade. You say, well, shouldn't I do the best I can? Absolutely. Is God against me having things? Nobody's against things having you. And that's the problem. Okay? And verse 19. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and the... Who's the beast? The Antichrist, the king of the earth. See that? The king of the earth, and the kings of the earth. And their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Here's what's going to happen. All of the world is going to come against the nation of Israel. Where's America going to fit in this? Don't know. It's not mentioned in the Bible. Either we'll be their only supporter and be a part of that, or we'll finally team up with the Arabs and the Russians and come against Israel, because they're the one that's causing all the trouble. But the good news is, when that happens, we'll be out of here. But the also, it's very important for you to understand, that couldn't be happening unless Israel first became a nation, 1948. So stay with it. Verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence. So the beast, who's the Antichrist, and the false prophet, who is the leader of a one-world religion. Follow with me. There's going to be a one-world government, and there's going to be a one-world religion. And they're going to come against Israel, because Israel's the one that's causing all the problems. The beast was captured, and with him a false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the what? Received the mark. That mark is very, very important. They received the mark, and we'll read about that in a moment, of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of the burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Boy, isn't that encouraging? The Word of God is true. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Grace, grace, grace. But then, when God has had enough, judgment will come. And when judgment comes, it's going to be brutal. No one's going to escape it. Okay, so that's the second coming of Christ. The rapture is when we're taken out. The second coming, I just read about in Revelation 19. That's when he returns, and he's going to destroy the people on this earth, and he's going to take charge. And then there's going to be, as you can read on in Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And there's so much to learn from Revelation 13. I wish I could take time to go through all this with you, but we don't have the time for it, so I encourage you to read through Revelation 13. Revelation 13 talks about that there's going to be, the first verse says, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horn ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name." Basically, as you read on, you'll find that there's going to come out of a restless sea of nations a world leader. And he's going to have, the Bible is symbolizing having all sorts of crowns on his head, because he's going to be leading a coalition of nations, call it NATO, call it United Nations, whatever you want to call it, against Israel. And he's the one that's going to come in out of this restless sea of nations and bring a peace plan that's going to be accepted. Can you imagine what could happen, what would happen if Donald Trump, it doesn't matter, name someone, doesn't matter, Donald Trump, someone was able to get Israel and all the Arabs and Russia and China to come to Jerusalem and sign a peace plan, because we're going to have peace on the earth. Guess what? If the Arabs and the Jews make peace, there's going to be peace on the earth. You say, well, that's not going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you're here when it happens, and if I'm here when it happens, I'm liable to have a rapture drill myself. Because that means it's so very close. I believe with all my heart it won't happen until we'd be taken out of here. But it's possible. There's so many things about Scripture that no one can totally, completely understand. But the indication that I get from Scripture is we'll be taken out before that happens. But there could be a very clear indication that peace is going to come to Israel. If you see that moving, know it's time to get ready. In fact, if I were you, I'd get ready today, because no one knows the day or hour. So that's what's going to happen. And then the Bible says, where does this world ruler get his power? He gets his power from the dragon. Who's the dragon? You know, the best, yeah, someone said Satan. Who said Satan? Yeah, way to go. That's in Revelation 12:4. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Here's what you need to understand. The person who's ruling this planet now is not God. Did you hear what I said? He's allowing Satan to have a period of time. But one of these days, it's going to be over. Are y'all staying with me? Okay. So, look down to verse 5, chapter 13, verse 5. And he was given, this world ruler, a month speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for how long? 42 months, that's 3.5 years. Okay? And all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast, and this false prophet will lead them to worship the beast. And Then he will set himself up to be God. But look on down here. We read this a moment ago. Verse 15. He was granted the only power that this devil has, the only power that the world leader has, is granted him by God. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Can you imagine John on the Isle of Patmos writing this and perhaps being able to see that all the world is able to see this beast, and it's coming over some kind of box that 2,000 years ago made no sense. But the image he's talking about could very well be international television or our computers. You follow what I'm saying? So everyone will see him. And by the way, it goes on to say, it says earlier in chapter 13, he's someone who was killed and then came back to life, supposedly. So he'll perform miracles and everybody will worship him. He's bringing peace to Israel. He's alive. Look at it. He was granted power. And then verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to do what? Receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number of man he is 666. That's numerology in the Bible. 6 is the number of man. And so this beast is going to be the best man can do. 666. And that's going to be on someone's forehead or on their hand. And it's going to be a world economy. Would you say we're getting close? I'd say we're getting close. Do y'all have a credit card? Oh, you don't? Well, good. That's good. Someday you probably, well, maybe not. We'll see. But credit cards, your identity can be stolen easily, can't it? It's a big mess with all this computer technology. So someday, sometime soon, they're going to say, we have a world economy. It's not just the dollar. It could be the dollar, but it's going to be a worldwide economy. There won't be this battle for economic control. There'll be a worldwide economy, peace to the world, and everyone will have a mark on their back of their hand or on their forehead. So when you go into wherever you shop, you take that little scanner gun and go, pship, and you buy what you want. Or here, you buy what you want. You say, well, how did they know that was going to happen? I don't know, except God told them. The revelation is from God. This is what's going to happen. So here's what I want you to hear. The timing is right, and the vehicles are here to bring this all about. Atomic weapons in North Korea, thinking that they're going to take a missile and launch it into South Korea. We're building up shields for South Korea. But let me tell you this, there's no shield against the plan of God. This whole thing's going to blow up. But to keep it from blowing up, there's going to come a worldwide peace plan, and there's going to become a worldwide religion, and there's going to become a worldwide economic economy. You say, how do you know that? That's what the Bible says. And guess what? We're getting close to it. Can you see it coming? I hope you can, because it is coming. Now, we could go on and on and on, but let's go to Matthew chapter 24, and let's try to hear what our Lord says about this time, and then we'll conclude. These scriptures I've printed for you, if you'll study them and look at them, what I've been talking to you about this morning will make sense. We can't read all that the Lord said in this time, but let's take a few moments. He's on the Mount of Olives, and look in verse 3. This is Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and what and the end of the age?" The Lord told them, "I'm going to go away, but I'll come back. When will we know you're coming back, and when will we know that this world's about to end?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see that see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, and all these things are the" what? "Beginning of sorrows." Jesus said, when you begin to see these things happening, famine. You know, there's 800 million people starving today in our world. That's a lot. Earthquakes. There's about 1.3 million earthquakes every year in our world. I think we said last week, like 10,000 a year just in California. The big one's coming. When you see these things taking place, then verse 9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Are Christians hated among nations? Pretty much. Isn't it interesting that our kids can study about Muslim religion in our schools, but not about Christianity? It's crazy. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness" — what's lawlessness? Doing what you want to do — "because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Have you ever noticed how when the left was in charge, they wanted everyone to speak? Freedom of speech. But now, because the liberals are out of control, Berkeley, they had a huge riot because Ann Coulter was going to come and speak there. Isn't that crazy? Breaking windows. And, oh, we're the — just a year or so ago, we're the ones that give peace, give everybody an opportunity. I tell you what, we're seeing the handwriting on the wall. People don't like Christians and the Bible, because the Bible gives order and out of chaos in our culture. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come." What's going to happen? The gospel is being spread throughout the world. Has there ever been a time in world history that the gospel could be spread throughout the world? Today. Through computers, through technology, the gospel is going all over the world. Well, it's getting close. And then verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go back, get anything out of his house. Let him run to the fields." It goes on and on and on, talking about get out of here. When you see the abomination of desolation — in other words, when you see — he's talking about during the tribulation time — when you see someone go to the temple and declare themselves God, it's time to get out of town. Run. And then he says, "For then," this is verse 21, "there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be." And verse 22, follow. "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Now, basically this morning I've just read scripture to you. And that's what you need to hear. Because this tells you exactly what is in God's plan. There's going to be a catching away of the saints. Then there's going to be a time of peace. Then there's going to be the desolation of abomination, abomination of desolation. There's going to be a man set himself up to be God in the temple of God. So the temple of God has to be rebuilt. The temple can't be rebuilt unless there's a nation. The nation is Israel, and the temple is in Jerusalem, and it's going to be rebuilt. And then someone's going to set up himself to be God, and then all hell's going to break loose. Tribulation's coming. And then, verse 26, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For whoever, wherever the carcass or the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered to it. So basically what he's saying, there's going to be a time of suddenness and a time of severity, just like a lightning flash. I was out at our house there in Frisco. Linda has a little, or it's a 60-gallon deal that we've hooked to our gutters to catch rainwater, because she likes to water her plants with rainwater. And so I was out there filling up some gallon jugs for her, and I was and I knew a storm was coming. But I'm telling you, I looked to the east, and them just like that, a lightning strike. I'm thinking, that's what the Bible says it's going to be like when Christ returns. And he's going to be back. And you read on, and Jesus said, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Hey, Noah, read on in chapter 24, you'll see it. Hey, Noah, what are you doing building that stupid boat? You say God's going to bring judgment? There's no judgment coming. Look, we've been fine for years, Noah. We're just going to party, have a good time. You go ahead and build your boat, Noah. Be stupid. You believe the word of God. Don't believe that. Just go ahead and be stupid. But then all of a sudden, lightning flashed. And the rain came. And the animals had been marching into the boat. And all of a sudden, it hadn't rained, but these guys started feeling drops on their head. Raindrops are falling on my head. But they were feeling them. And they said, he was right. Judgment's coming. Let's get in the boat. Do you know that the Bible says Noah didn't shut the door? God did. And when God shuts the door, no one's going to get in. And good news is, no one's going to get out. When you're in, you're in. But if you're out, you're out. That's why Jesus said, be ready. Because just like the time of Noah, Christ will come back. And he goes on to say in verse 24, if you were being robbed, but if you knew you were going to be being robbed, before you were robbed, you would have protected yourself against the robber. So get ready, because in a time you think not, he's going to come from the east like lightning flash. And it'll be suddenly, and it'll be over. Lynn and I, when we were pastoring in Oklahoma City, Putnam City, we had the same schedule. We go to church every Sunday morning, church every Sunday night. We had the same schedule, and someone was watching us. We didn't know that. But one Sunday night, we were driving home from church, and we were in two cars because I had to go early and Linda came. But she pulled in, and I think I must have been right behind you, because the garage door opened. And when we opened the garage door, our computer and a whole lot of stuff, television, all that was sitting in the garage because we'd come home early. And the thieves didn't know it. Somehow they got out the back. But we didn't go in until the police came and checked it all out. Well, that's a terrible feeling, isn't it, to be robbed? How many have ever been robbed? It's terrible. But guess what? If someone would have tipped me off and said, "Hey, Rod, somebody's been watching your house. They know when you come home and they know when you leave, especially on Sundays." It's the same pattern. "Rod, Sunday night they're going to rob you." Guess what I'd have done? You say, "You'd gotten there with your shotgun." No, I would have called the police. I'm not going to do that. Amen? But I would have prepared for the fact that somebody was going to rob my house. Listen very clearly. Jesus is coming back. And if you're not ready, you've been warned today, and you need to get ready. And there's only one way you can be ready, and that's to repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life. He's coming back. Get ready. Amen? Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that men, women, boys and girls in this room today who are not sure that you're in their hearts, have not repented of their sins and ask you to come into their life, would today ask you to come live in their hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name.